This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, hey, hey.
Now hey. Back to the kickoff show on 95.7 The Game.
It's Lorenzo Neal. It's Dan Devone, San Francisco 49ers. In less than an hour, we'll kick things off against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As San Francisco a year ago, don't forget, what are you dancing to, Lo? What are
you listening
to?
You know what, my man, he's turning it up in here, baby. He had it rolling. So I was like, all right, let me give you a little dance moves.
Let me ask you, an hour before kickoff.
Yes.
The butterflies are gathering. You know, you're beginning to obviously think about your assignments. But where do you go to mentally? Or what would be your ritual? I'm not talking about practice.
I'm talking
about, like, you're in the locker room. You're about to go out on the field in front of a televised audience. You got more than 65,000 fans. Like, what's ruminating between the ears?
You know what? That morning, you get up. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever. You got a 10 o'clock kick or 12 o'clock kick. Go to chapel service. Get a little chapel. From there, go eat a little breakfast. Ate light, maybe one egg. You know, get a lot of hydration, a lot of water. Not no coffee that usually that morning. Just like you just wanted to make sure you're hydrated. A lot of water, little coffee. I mean, little egg, maybe a pancake or something like that. Get a little bit of carbs, and you head up to the stadium. I would go over it on the early bus. Like to get there early. And then you get in the stadium, you know, make sure that all your pads, everything is dialed up what you wanted. Everything's set out. You line everything up where you want to do. Then I'd get my headsets on. I'd go out about an hour, like you said, hour and a half early. Throw a little Kurt Franklin. Make me want to dance. I'd get that little gospel on, and I'm thinking about it. I'm sitting in my locker before I go out to set up my pads. Everything's set. I sit in my locker, flip through all the pages again. You're looking at your playbook. Look at all of your stuff. Look at the first 12. Look at the dirty dozen. The first 12 plays you're going to do. You get all that done. Get all that dialed up. Have your pads. So you know once you get in, I'd come back in. You already know what your ritual was going to be. I'd go out, start warming up. Throw my Kurt Franklin. I'd get in four laps. Go four laps. I would do my thrusters. I had a routine. I would come back in sweaty.
You're running four laps.
Yes. Jog, nice jog, four laps around the field.
Yeah.
And I had a nice lather. Then I had 20 yards. I had, you know, I would do these thrusters where I drop my hips and just boom, explode up. I would do things where I'm using my feet between, opposite leg in between lines. I had a ritual, like 30 minutes. I would come in lathered, nice and sweaty. Then I'd go in, shower. Get in a cold shower, you know, like this is 30 minutes before the game. I'd get a nice cold shower and just cold shower, stand there like 10, 20 minutes and just like let the water hit and just think. And just think about what am I here? What's my job today? And just get focused. Boom. Go in and get taped. Friggin', you know, you got 15 minutes, go get tape, get everything in. And I had one of the trainers would warm me up, do some other stuff that I would do. I'd get over there and then I'd get dressed and I'd find me a little quiet spot. Where it's dark. Maybe on a away trip, you find a little room that no one's in, and you just go in there, locker, and you just friggin' go in there and just quiet. I turn the light off, and I just shut the door, and I'm back there. No one knows. I'm just like, and just meditating, tighten up my feet, tightening my calves, tightening my quads, tightening my back, tightening my abs, do all, and go through and make sure everything is firing. And do that for like 5 minutes. Then you hear, bring it up, Lord's Prayer, baby. Everyone comes out, get to that little circle, do the Lord's Prayer, get ready to go. And man, you walk out of that tunnel and your mind just leaves. You forget about everything. You're not thinking about girls. You're not thinking about life. You're not thinking about friggin' jobs. You're not thinking about friggin' friends. You're not thinking about anything. It's about you're in the game. I'm here to entertain. I'm here to do a job. You look in that locker room. You look at your guys. You look in guys' eyes. And everyone, it's no laughing. It's not playing. Dude, you're going out there to do a battle. Everyone's, oh, it's fun. No, no, no. Yeah, you can laugh. But it's like, it's a game. You're going out there. Look in guys' eyes when you see them run on that field. And look how intense. And look at, man, you're going out there to lay wood. You're going out there to, you're going out there with bad intentions. That's what it's about. So you would get in that locker room. Then when you freaking ran out on that field and you sat there and you ran out and you're ready to go, and all of a sudden they start singing the Star Spangled Banner and you're freaking on the sideline and you're getting ready, and you like, I would turn my back because I didn't want to know who's winning the coin cloth, because I just wanted, I was just like, I did some weird stuff, but I had a certain shirt I'd wear, certain music. I mean, just like, I don't know, man. You brought me back. I was just going through it while you were telling me that. It's just, it was just, it was the best.
If you want, you can headbutt Carvey, man. Let's go.
I was going to say,
let's,
you had me ready to run through a brick wall. That was awesome.
Yeah, man. I love
it. Is there that quiet tension in the locker room beforehand? Like, there's are you talking to anybody? Is anybody, I guess there's little conversations, but for the most part, it's just that sort of, we're going to battle, and there's, like, the talking's done with. You've been talking all week.
Hayes in the barn. It's the talking's over. It's no, oh, yeah, you ain't laughing and thinking about where we're going to go. You know, at practice, you're like, okay, cool, bro, we'll go at dinner. Hey, let's do this. It's no, you're not thinking about anything. So, yeah, you might be talking, hey, man, hey, on this play, hey, if you see the safety, this is what
I'm
going to
do. So it's just quiet, maybe a little murmurs.
It's just like, boom, guys got the heads on, listen to music. Let's go. You're hearing guys, you know, bounce around. You're seeing guys just doing their thing. All right, boy, let's go. It's just, it's a different, or you're pumping. You're not in there like, man, it's not by
themselves. Everybody's getting into their own space. Yes. You do it your way, and everybody else is finding that same way to get to that optimal level when they hit the field.
No question. But it's a way that you want, if you had an opportunity to go in a locker room before the game, you would be amazed, because there's no smiles. It's a different, you just feel, you can cut the air with the tension that's in the air. And it's just it's a different place. It's a different space. The guys, let's go, boys. And you just like, 10 minutes early out. I mean, it's a different feel. And that's why you see guys come on the game, come to the field. They're bouncing. They're jumping around. It's, man, you're getting ready to unleash. You're getting ready, and it's nerves, it's good nerves, it's bad nerves. Man, you getting ready to go out there, and you're like, okay, here we go. So, man, it is, like you said, everyone, each individual is in their own mind, their own space, how they get it done.
And what's amazing about that is that the opposing team's doing the same thing. So something's got to give.
Something's got to give, baby.
We talk about Christian McCaffrey. I got to, once again, pick your brain, because let's face it, when we hear Achilles tendonitis, Carter and I were talking about this, just to give the NBA analogy, and Kevin Durant back in 2019, where they lose to Toronto in the NBA Finals. And in that Finals, 2 weeks prior, it was, you know, Durant who had the injury to the calf muscle. And essentially what it was a precursor to him eventually snapping that Achilles heel. And that has to be in the back of the mind of not only Christian McCaffrey, but when I watch him play today, I'm going to grimace a little bit, to be honest with you. Like, oh, God, I hope it's going to hold up. Or if he just plants and goes, or is that going to snap it? I mean, have you, first of all, dealt with any Achilles injuries? And when you watch Christian McCaffrey, are you looking for anything in terms of any sort of indicator as to whether he's favoring one leg or the other? Or how are you determined as to whether he's at 100% and we're sort of out of the woods, so to speak, when it comes to his health?
The difference is McCaffrey is not forced into play. Durant was forced into play because of the fact he had a bad rap. That Durant, people said he's soft. He got tired of all the people saying it. He knew his leg was hurting. You saw him at the pregame. He jumped to show people he's okay when he wasn't.
Yeah.
It's a guy that shouldn't have been out there. McCaffrey's not that type of guy. McCaffrey understands his body and is going to listen to it. They gilded Durant. I'm not going to say it was a team. I'm not going to say it was an organization. But Durant was dealing with his own demons. You see how Durant, you know, will he win it in the championship? Could he win it without these guys? You see all the stuff that's always surrounding him. And I think that forced this guy to get out there, which he shouldn't have got out there and played. The difference is McCaffrey, medicine-wise, medically-wise, has a different team that guys are going to take care of him. It's a different, and he has other people. You know, this guy traveled to Germany. So I think you have a guy who rested way longer than Kevin Durant. It wasn't even close. Durant came right out. This guy's already been out 8 weeks, and he's already been working out. This isn't like McCaffrey's been sitting around for the last 6-7 weeks doing nothing. This guy's been getting treatment. He's been ice and stem. He's been dorsiflexing. And, yeah, when you have your Achilles, when those things is tight like that, you get guys put lifts. So on the bottom of your foot, you put little lifts in the back because you don't want to stretch your Achilles that much. So you put they get the shoes and they put the orthotics, but then they give lifts about an inch or half an inch or whatever you feel comfortable with. And it shortens the length of how you can dorsiflex or your Achilles. So you're going to be able to shorten the length of how far you can stretch it. So when you can do that, now you don't stretch that rubber band. So you don't get it to that spot where it's about to pop because of the fact you have put in lifts in your shoes. So you don't be able to stretch it as far as you can. And you can tape it up that way as well. So you'll see them do different things to prevent him from getting full range of motion. Because you don't want full range of motion necessarily when you have a weak or chronic kind of Achilles.
So we've talked about the offense of the tournament, Christian McCaffrey. Obviously, all eyes will be on him. It'll be interesting to see just what sort of the pitch count, how many carries he gets. Will he be the primary focus? And obviously, Jordan Mason, good to go. And let's not forget about Isaac Garendo, who had that breakout game against the Dallas Cowboys. But as we switch to the other side of the ball, the San Francisco 49ers have been good defensively, but not dominant as they were a year ago. They've had a hard time getting off the field on third down, and certainly against the run, they've been also sort of an area of concern. They're young in the backfield. They're going to be without Charvarius Ward, the tragedy and the loss of his young daughter at the tender age, one year. I can't even imagine what it is that he's dealing with, and when he'll return is clearly up to him. But the 49ers are going to be depleted with his absence. We'll expect to see Green get an opportunity, the rookie, to play. Right. Isaac Yiadom will be in there as well. And I think that the one player who, along with Fred Warner, that might be your co-MVP has been D'Amador Lenore. But defensively against Tampa Bay, which is a team, as we have talked about, it has been well documented without two of the best wide receivers as far as combinations, and Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. The tight end now that Otten has become the go-to for Baker Mayfield, Rashad White, they're going to run the football right at you. But defensively, what is it that the 49ers have to do? What sort of areas of concern have you recognized from this team over the last couple of weeks?
Win in the trenches. Let Fred Warner be Fred Warner. When you have a good, I played with the guys at Green, I played against some great linebackers, the Ray Lewis's and those guys. They were good because of the guys they had in front of them. I played with Donnie Edwards, who was just an okay linebacker, but he was great because he had the guy he had in front of him. You know, when you have a Jamal Williams was with the Chargers, a nose guard that was unbelievable. When you think about when the Steelers had Hand, think about big Hand that played at nose guard, and you had the linebacker's foot, and those guys can bounce around because you had a guy came up. Think about Saragusa when he was with the Baltimore Ravens and Ray Lewis, Saragusa, what those three techniques were able to do. When they block that nose guard, they usually grub. They grab the guard with them, and they push both those guys back, and they hold those two guys. So now the Mike linebacker can go. Now, if you have a nose guard that gets pushed off the line of scrimmage, if you let those guys deuce up or scoop up to the linebacker, now they push the nose guard 2-3 yards off the ball. Now the linebacker's behind, and he has to back up, and now they run and took him into it, and now the linebacker has to run a hump, and now the running back has a two-way go. He can go on the left or the right side because they got push. If the nose guard is able to push and hold the point and have the guard in the center right there in the A gap and keep create a new line of scrimmage, now the linebacker, he can hit either side. Now he has a freeway go, and now you're winning. So to me, it's about the trenches. It's about what the guys are doing in that three gap, what those guys are doing up front. You have to be technique sound to hold those gaps where linebackers can make your plays. Your linebacker should be leading your teams in tackles, not your safeties, not your corners. It's about your linebackers. But how do they do that? That's, and when they're doing that, that's because they got great defensive line play up front. that has to be at premium today. Those guys up front have to keep the linebackers clean and let them run downhill and play at a new line of scrimmage. This is about field position, but this is about who is winning in the trenches. Which team is going to create a new line of scrimmage for these linebackers to play? Because both teams rely a lot on their linebacker play. So that goes who is going to play best in the trenches. So that's what I'm looking at. You know the Niners. I like the safety, the rookie,
Malik Mustafa.
Mustafa. Mala will hit you. I like what he does. I like how he comes down in a run fit. When he hits you, he hits you. He can play in the box. He's not necessarily a huge, tall guy, but he's physical and he's squatty body. This guy plays with great leverage. So you're going to see him down in that box. It's going to be just imperative that the guys up front in the trenches play well today for the linebackers and secondary can do their things, and that's fly around and make tackles in the backfield.
Speaking of Malik Mustafa, who's questionable for today's game, which means that they could see the former 49er, Tashawn Gibson, who was picked up just before the trade deadline, could get an opportunity to start as the Niners still dealing with injuries at that safety position. Talano Hufanga out again, not expected back for a couple of weeks because of the torn ligaments in the wrist, but defensively for this 49er team, when you think about the trenches and the guys up front, Malik Collins, they picked up Khalil Davis, comes over from Houston, who's familiar with the system, playing in Houston under D'Amico Ryans, Jordan Elliott. When it's 87 degrees, how important is it to have some depth on that D-line?
It's imperative. You have to, because especially the rotation, especially if you're going to get beat up, you know what Tampa's going to do. They're going to say, look, let's establish some run too. Let's try to be physical. And when it's, you talk about the heat and all those different things, especially if your offense is three and out, and the defense is out there and they're giving up 3 yards or 4 yards, and all of a sudden you have long drives, it's about the rotation, keeping these guys fresh. So I think that that's why I talk a lot about this offense. I want to see this Niners offense, especially with the emergence of Christian McCaffrey, with the rebirth of Christian McCaffrey, keep the defense fresh. Wear the Tampa Bay's defense out. Have ball control. Don't just go three and out and put your defense back on the field. You went out and you made a trade with the Houston Texans because, hey, look, needed some more guys in the trenches. You went out and said, look, let's make a run. And that's why they addressed it. They didn't address the receiver. They didn't address, the other spots. It was about the trenches because they know in the trenches you have been getting beat up. You lost a Gravedigger, certain guys you don't have there up front. You have to get better in the trenches. That Arizona game showed me a lot. When you're winning that game and you're up by 2 points and you let that team take the ball and run it down your throat and it was nothing you can do, that showed me you got to get better in the trenches. And that's what the Niners went out and did. They had a week trade deadline. Everyone said they're going to sit, hold court, not necessarily do something, get a running back, get a safety. What were they going to get? They went out and said, let's get a guy in the trenches that can play, that can help us out, and they needed that.
I think a lot of it has to do with the injury to Kevin Givens. There's some uncertainty as to whether he would go today. But unlike that of a year ago, if you recall, where the 49ers made a big splash and they got Chase Young, who was supposed to set the edge, was never really that guy. I think he had like 2.5 sacks from that point forward. Was okay in the Super Bowl, but was never the sort of player
they needed it, though. They needed a guy. They thought he was going to be more. And at times he showed spurts, but he was too tall. He didn't have body control. You watch him, Chase is pretty stiff. But at times he did set an edge at times. So like you said, they know what they needed. So they went out and tried to find that guy. So, and that's what they're doing this year. They said, look, we have to get better in the trenches. Yes, Chase didn't pan out. We know that. But they said, this is the position that we have to address. And they showed right now, that's what they had to address.
They get Khalil Davis, they get Gage, a wide receiver, and as I mentioned, Tashawn Gibson, who could see the field today, comes back at the safety position. I'm curious, when you talk about in the trenches, and Vita Vea, who is still the go-to guy, he's a beast,
man,
out of the University of Washington, and he plugs that middle and is one of the best for Tampa Bay. But he saw a lot of action. I want to say like 65 defensive plays last week against Kansas City. So once again, it sort of goes back to just a short week and where will he be at, not only mentally, but certainly physically. You always hear this, Lo, when you, whether it was you and LaDainian Tomlinson, but when you get into that rhythm, when you start carving up a team, you're getting 3 or 4 yards a pop, and it becomes a 12 play drive. What's it like when you sense that that defensive line, and especially in the trenches, that they're gassed, and you know as an offense, like, let's just run it right the hell at them?
I absolutely loved it, man. In Cincinnati,
because as a fan, it's palpable. You're like, you can see it.
As a player, you can not only see it, you can feel it. When I look over there and I look and I'm playing, you know, I'm playing in Cincinnati and it's me and Corey Dillon, or I'm playing in Tennessee, it's me and 2-7 Eddie George, you know, and we're coming downhill, or I'm in San Diego and it's me and LaDainian Tomlinson, Tampa Bay, me and Mike Alstott, we would tell the coach, let's run the ball. They don't want no more. I remember playing against a team. We're playing against the Minnesota Vikings. They're 5-0. They're undefeated. They're the only undefeated team in the league. Go look that game up. You go watch that tape. Well, me and Mike Alstott playing against the Minnesota Vikings. They're the best team in the league that year. Undefeated. Go see who they lost to. We lined up and we went power, we went lead draw, we ran the ball right at him. And when you see guys, Rudd was coming in there and I was taking his head off. I said, come on, let's go. I said, I'm going to make you apologize for coming out on this field. And you see guys break down right in front of you when they come in, all of a sudden they come in there, boom, and you lay the head wood on them. Then you come back, boom, and you hit them again. And you start to see them. Now they come in and they stop their feet. They're trying to olay you, give you a soft shoulder, trying to get out, get skinny, and then trying to come back. I can make the plays 15 yards, 30 yards, 15, 10. And you see those guys quit, it means a lot, because you know you broke them. And they'll sit there and be yelling and cussing. You ain't nothing. You come on back. You know you got them. You know you're in their head. You know you've broken them. And you know they want to quit. When you have that and you know you're doing that to a team, it gives you a great deal of excitement. And you want to go back on that field. And when you're playing against a guy like Tampa Bay with Vita Bay and how he runs, this is a guy that played 65 plays, like you're saying. You stretch him early. You say, look, this guy's only had 4 days. He's not in the, you know, he's a big man. He's got 65 some plays. They left a lot on that field. I don't think that's in their tank. You make him play sideline to sideline. You run those zone plays with Christian McCaffrey. You say, let's sprint to this corner. You got Big Trent out there. Let's stretch this team. Let's make that three technique. Let's make him, he's playing in the over technique where he's playing on the backside of the nose. Let's make him run. Let's make him cross over the nose, the center, and run to the left and make him run. Let's make him run sideline to sideline. Let's wear him out. Now we can double him. Now we can push. Now we can go in the middle. But I think that you're going to see a Niner team today come out and they're going to see if they can get to the perimeters. Let's win on the outside to make those guys inside run. They just played on a short week. Let's see if those legs, if we can wear these guys out. So look for the Niners. My game plan today is you run to the outside, you wear them out, and then we start running in the middle. Because you know Vita Bay, he's tough, physical. If you just say I'm going to run right at him at his strength, you ain't winning that battle. But if you move him, make him run sideline to sideline, because now he's got to get in gaps, you got problems.
And on Antoine Winfield Jr., another standout football player defensively for that Tampa Bay team, who, as we talked about, when they stacked that box, look for number 31 to come down and be that extra run support. I'm just curious. We know that they chirp a little bit in the NBA. Not a little bit. There's the back and forth. How much of that is going on that we're not privy to in the NFL?
Oh, it's a lot. You guys are always chirping. Oh, guys, man, come on. You ain't nothing. Talking junk about your mama, your daddy, whatever, your sister, your girl, whatever. And you love it. You're like, whatever. I mean, guys are going to talk. It's just you're playing a physical game.
Who was the Gary Payton of the NFL of your day? Was there somebody that...
You know what? There was some guys that did some talk. I mean, I used to love the way that he talked, but he would back it up. John Randall.
Oh, God, yeah.
I mean, Johnny Randall.
When he was with the Vikings.
With the Vikings. When he was
with that crazy eye black.
And, yeah. Neil, oh my God. I'm coming today, Neil. Here I come. But I still call Johnny Randall. He was frigging crazy. I mean, I played with the Dome Patrol, Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling, Sam Mills, Vaughn Johnson. Yeah. I was with them crazy brothers, man. You got to realize, I lived that life when I had seen those guys out there. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. Or I'd go to practice. And I'm like, I was scared. I'd call my mama on walking out to the field. Mama, pray for me that I come home, that I'm safe today. Because I'm walking out the field with Ricky Jackson, Pat Swilling, Sam Mills, Vaughn Johnson. I mean, these guys.
One of the best linebacking corps that you never hear about, though, for whatever reason.
Oh, yeah. That's why they call the Dome Patrol and Frank Warren and all those guys. And it's like, God, what am I doing? I come from California, and you go to deep south, and you're talking about New Orleans, baby, and you're like, oh, my goodness. So I walk out on that field. You got the brothers with the trophy case in their mouth, the gold. They're looking at you. Hey, man, what's up? You want your I walk out the training camp. I mean, I'm at practice. It's 100, 100, you know how hot it is.
Where's
in New Orleans.
Oh,
in New Orleans. Yeah, you know how hot it is. Where training camp would be in Mankato, would be in, but then when you come back, and I'm so tired. New Orleans just gets, I'm talking about you swamp it. I mean, it's so hot. You walk out of the house, you're sweating. I mean, the humidity.
Yeah.
Dude, Frank Warren, it's lunchtime. He's outside and he's smoking. I mean, you're smoking. I mean, outside smoking in 120.
Smoking a cigarette.
I'm like, where the hell am I doing? Where am I at? I'm like, dude, I'm in the NFL. These guys
that's
are
not right.
It's not right. Guys are smoking. Bro, you got to realize I came in the league in 93 where it was still crazy that trans, crazy mean Gene Atkins. Remember, Rudy brought a gun, wanted to kill one of the guys. We were Gene Atkins. I mean, 28. I mean, I had those guys, bro, that I was like, I came in the league at a good time that they, but they made me. So I got to see different transitions of the league and watch it just how it went and where it went and where, you know, the maceration of the league. So I came in where it was playing against the Ronnie Lotts, playing against the, you know, Joey Brown. I mean, it was like, it was crazy. The rude awakening that I had coming into the league, but I love it.
And that's when obviously, you know, we're all so concussion savvy, but that wasn't necessarily the case.
Yeah. Get some smelling salt. Get back on the field. Let's go. You're knocked out. How many fingers got? Two. No, it's three. That's all right. You're okay then.
When we come back, the final half hour to get you ready for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the San Francisco 49ers as the Niners look to go over the 500 mark. Meanwhile, Tampa Bay trying to get back to 500. Something has to give. Tampa Bay the location. Lorenzo Neal, it's Carter Chickering and Dan Devone. Last half hour, 49ers. A preview on the way. Taking you right up until kickoff, Tampa Bay, the location. 49ers at 4-4, taking on a 4-5 Buccaneer team led by Baker Mayfield. You know, Baker Mayfield was a guy that,
yeah,
he was, I gotta be honest, like probably like a lot of people, sort of annoyed me when he first came into the league.
Sure.
Had some attitude, but hats off to that dude. He is, talk about a
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Guy who plays with pain.
Yep.
And a guy that he didn't practice, by the way, on Wednesday or Thursday this week. So he's got a bad toe, but is expected to go. That team is just not healthy. Nobody is this time of the year. But Baker Mayfield is, he's a gamer. And you always hear about this, that you get the respect of the locker room if you're somebody that, first of all, can stand in the face of pressure, deliver a football, and also play injured. Is he somebody, first of all, is there validity to that? And for you who's in the huddle, when you have somebody like that, a Baker Mayfield, obviously you have his back regardless, but is there a sense of, like, is it important for you to know that this guy's, he's dealing with pain like I am, and that goes a long way in terms of having the respect of players like yourself?
No question. He's not a prima donna. You see a lot of times quarterbacks, you know, get their toe hurt and they're not going to play. They're not going to practice. Here's a guy that wants to be on the field. Here's a guy that, you know, left and gambled on himself, left a team and said, hey, look, I'm going to go out to, you know, L.A., go play with the Rams. And look what he was able to do with the Rams. Here's a guy came in, stepped in that night and friggin' fought. This guy that said, you know what, I'm one play away from being out the league. I was a highly sought after guy. And, you know, first I had some issues, maybe. I thought I was bigger than the game. I had a little Johnny Manziel in me and all the little things around me, but the perception. And how did he change the reality? That's perception versus reality. And that's what you have to tip your hat to Baker Mayfield and understand. This is a guy that's fought. Here's a guy that this is who he used to be and now who he is. I talked to some guys that's on Tampa Bay, played with their GM who played with me, played linebacker, forgetting his name, see his Facebook, forgetting his name, played with me in the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Shelton. His name's Shelton Qualm. So Shelton now is in the front office and working with Tampa Bay. And I asked him, I go to Mike Allstott's golf tournament every year, and me and Shelton sitting out and having some conversations and just talking about
life. Does Allstott have a neck?
No, he doesn't. Mike is still an ox, man. I go to his tournament every year. He's such a great
guy. He was one of the funnest running backs in the last 15, 20 years.
He would absolutely...
He's Purdue down. As well, right?
Yeah, Purdue. Bowler up, yeah. Hammer down. Exactly. Yeah. He would absolutely break guys' neck, run through guys, run over guys, step on guys. It wasn't fair watching this guy run the ball.
What was his 40 time, though? He wasn't fast.
He wasn't fast, but he was like a 4.7, 4.8. Yeah, I mean, the guy can run a 4.7, 4.6. I mean, he was fast enough that, you know, that he could, you know, 30, 40 out, he's going to get there. Anything after that, someone's coming to get him.
We were talking about red zone, especially red zone deficiency when it comes to the 49ers. Right. And I asked you some players that can smell the end zone. Allstott was just money.
You couldn't stop him. It was like, okay.
Once you got
inside the five, right? He would bounce off like, 10 guys and still get in the end zone. It was like watching this guy play. Like, are you kidding me? Watching him, some of his touchdowns, his highlights. It's like, dude, how did he score? It was just, like you said, does he have a neck? His neck first, he'd run in there, boom. And it, by the way, he had neck surgery. So his neck is jacked up. So he had surgery. But we go there every year. I go and sit and we talk and we hang out. And it's a great time with Mike, man. He's awesome. But yeah, Shelton was saying just how hard Baker is and what this guy means to the team, and just talked about, hey, the front office, the players love him. They respect him. That's his team. I can tell you right now, you had Tom Brady there. The greatest quarterback that ever played, you know, him, arguably say him or Montana, but we know it's either or. Who do you want to pick? But we know who Brady was. And Baker comes, that's big shoes to fill. And these guys love him. The organization loves him. The players love him. It's his team. They know that guy will fight for him. So it's just going to be interesting to see how they play today on a short week. A lot of injuries, a lot of guys played. Game they should have won, they didn't. How can they bounce back and play the Niners today?
The line is at 6, and I think when we took the temperature of the room, Carter and I both see this as a decisive 49er victory. Although, yeah, you know, that's always scary to predict, but you see it a lot closer. What's going to go down today?
Yeah, here's the deal. The way it looks, you would have to say it's going to be a one-sided game because it's been a short week and those guys are injured and Baker's toe and all the different things surrounding this team. They played in Kansas City, a team that's great, undefeated, and you had a chance mentally. How do you bounce back? But the only reason I say that is because they have to. I talked about earlier about Baker and how it's his team. He's not going to quit. And those guys, he won't let those guys quit. Mm. So you got to realize you're going to play a team that's desperate. You have to play a team that wants to win. You're going to play a team that understand that they're like a cat against the wall. You get a cat, right? And you're outside and it's a wild stray cat. You walk outside and you try to pick that cat up. He's going to take off. He's not going to do anything. You won't even be able to touch him. The cat's just gone. He doesn't pay you any mind because you can't get him. You walk that cat. That cat gets in your house and he's in your bedroom or he's in your closet or he's frigging in your garage. You got problems. That cat's going, you're going to pack that cat into that wall and you start to see how that cat's going to scratch. He's going to fight. And you know that alley cat's going to give you hell. But so you got to realize Tampa Bay, they're the alley cat. They're back against the wall today. So no matter what the circumstances, I understand Niners are coming off a bye week and 10 days to prepare and all those things. This is a game they should win, a game they need to win, a game I think they will win. But I just don't think you're going to have, I think you have an alley cat type of mentality for Tampa Bay.
You thought about coaching, man? Carter, man, let's go strap it up, man. Let's get out there.
I'm with you. He should be coaching.
Too much time, baby. Too much time. Give me this. I mean,
it's a serious dedication.
The commitment that you have. I've been asked to coach Marty Schottenheimer before. Great Marty asked me before he passed to coach. I mean, I've had opportunities. Tedford wanted me to coach for him at Cal Berkeley. I've had opportunities to coach at Berkeley. I like the drops. I like it. I like it. Yeah, you know, so I've had some opportunities and still, probably could coach in with the Chargers if I wanted to. So it's
Was Tedford at Fresno State with you? No.
Yes, he was my offensive coordinator.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he was my OC. Rich Olson was, and then Rich left, and then Tefford took over the last year there. So I've been knowing Tefford for years.
Yeah.
And when he was in Cal, he was like, hey, Lo, what do you think about coaching? Would you be interested in when I retired? Would you be interested in coming to Cal?
I want to say, is he in the CFL? He's one of those, like, coachings in the blood,
you know what?
Man.
He was in Fresno last year in his heart.
Oh, he was
at Fresno State, and he turned it over to Skipper, to Tim Skipper.
Yeah.
He's been his health.
Skipper's been with the program forever.
Skipper played there. Tell me about Jim Skipper, Kelly Skipper. Kelly played at Fresno State. Kelly Skipper.
Yeah.
The older one played up also coached for the – he coached in Buffalo right now, but he's also a coach for the
Skipper,
Raiders.
Skipper, I want to say, also a running back.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, he was running back for the Fresno State. I go to Fresno State. Skipper's my running back coach, so I get drafted, and I go play for Jim Skipper, his dad. So Jim Skipper coaches
who
was with the Saints.
Saints.
So I went from son to father, and then when I'm single, don't have a place to go, so I've been knowing Skipper. Like, he's like, man, my mom and dad want you to come over. So I would go to Skipper's house for Christmas, Thanksgiving. Dad, Jim, my running back coach, I would go to his house and hang out with Timmy and Skipper and his two other sons. So I would be at their house, and Timmy's in the third, fifth grade, sixth grade, so I'd stay there for 4 years, so I knew Timmy very well. Timmy goes to Fresno State and start playing linebacker. He's playing at Fresno State. And now all of a sudden, Tefford's the head coach, brings him back as coach. And now Timmy Skipper is the head coach of Fresno State. Is that not crazy?
That's nuts.
That's nuts. So I got a great, great, great relationship with the Skipper family.
I'm thinking about my Fresno State days. What was the chain Australian restaurant that everyone would go to in Fresno?
Right there on Shaw, next to the campus. Willikers.
No, not Willikers. I don't
know. You know
Willie's
Black Angus?
Black Angus.
Oh, he used to party. Yeah, I can see you up in there. I saw your face up in the club, baby. You was up there dropping bottles.
Where there's a restaurant that's down under Fries. It's
Fridays?
Not Fridays. It was
in Fresno?
Yeah, Fresno.
Okay, where was it? It was like on Shaw
Avenue? It's a chain. Yeah, it was like at the end of Shaw. Like past Gottschalk's.
Oh, that's Gottschalk's. No, you ruined Gottschalk's. No, no. Oh, my goodness. The Hoffbrot, the Silver Dollar. We had on
the
Shaw.
Yeah, you remember that one, right?
You had Black Angus. You had Tequila Peaks. What did we have?
No, there was something. It was sort of new.
Spaghetti Factory?
Go-to spot. Not the Spaghetti
Factory. Trying to think about Shaw, baby.
Come on, Carter. Help me out.
Come on, Carter.
There's an Australian.
I'm an SF boy. I don't know.
I know, but it's an Australian themed restaurant. They have like Down Under Fries. They got like, anyways, it'll
gosh,
come.
Gosh,
like,
when you think about
like
it,
that used to be their go-to for steaks.
Was it in the Tower District or was it close to the university?
No, not downtown. No, okay. This was like at the end of Shaw. Like, so you take the Shaw like towards, I don't know.
Sorry, Clovis Avenue toward Clovis?
Not towards Clovis, the other direction.
Okay, toward the 41 freeway.
Sorry, you're from Hanford,
yeah,
right?
I'm Fresno, yeah, but I went to Fresno. I know Fresno very well,
okay.
Man.
That's
all right. It's all right.
Yeah, no, I was there. I think Michael Pittman.
Okay, oh yeah.
Was Pittman was getting the ball, and Sweeney and I butted heads, but he was the man. He was like absolute guy.
You and Jim would go at it.
I mean, he just saw me as this. I was right out of college, and I used to do a show with Sweeney, Sweeney was Sweeney.
What are you talking about? Hey, look, hey, we're playing Bulldog football. Hey, look here. Hey, this is how we play. Got it? Good. Understand?
I was with Sweeney at a bowl game in Hawaii, and I shouldn't share this with the guy. He was a legend. But they kicked him out of the bar.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, hey, Dad,
that's Jimmy, baby.
Can you go get me 1 minute? Just go. I can't. They cut me off, man. So I had to go get him.
Oh,
he's out at the pool.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look,
coaches back in the day.
Man, Jim would be up in the tower, man. Hey, they think he's drinking water. He's got vodka up there. He's up in the tower, getting it in. I mean, I love Jim. Jim Sweeney, man. I used to see him beat guys up. Ron Rivers, Ron, I know you're listening to the show. Lives here. His son plays for the Rams. And Ron played, by the way, Barry Sanders said the best running back in the league is me. And he said, by the way, the second best is Ron Rivers, because Ron Rivers backed him up for 10 years in Detroit.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, in Fresno State.
Yeah, no, Fresno State legend, yeah.
And so, Ronnie, we're at a meeting. Sunday morning, Saturday morning before the game. You know, you have you go to have the breakfast before the game Sunday, Saturday night. Yeah. So we're eating as a team, and Ron's just sitting over at the table. We're having Sweeney's going through his stuff, and it's been, and Ron just he whispers to one of the guy, and you know, Sweeney's behind him. Sweeney has that big cowboy ring. Boom! Hits him in the head, knots him up. He's got a lump. He's lumped up in the head. He's lumped up. He's rubbing his head. They give him ice in his Sweeney. Hey, don't be talking when I'm talking. You got it? I mean, you know, Jim. I mean, this Ron's trying to put on his helmet that night. His head's swollen up. He's hurting. We got a game that night. I mean, Jim Sweeney, you got
to imagine trying to get away with that today.
Oh, dude.
With all of the. How many lawsuits and how many attorneys would be involved? And how would that play out virally on social media?
Oh, my goodness. Jim, when those guys, I loved him. By, I mean, he was just a great guy. I mean, he always had you laughing on pins and needles, but he was just tough. He was an old school. Hey, look, my father was a coal miner. I come from Brute Montana. Got it? Good. You think it's tough on the streets? Hey, I grew up fighting, you know, trying to survive. He'd start crying and give us this. You know, Jim, man.
They always talked about, this predated me, man, but when I got there, they would always talk about the Fresno State San Jose State game.
Rival.
Do you know what I'm talking about? There was one game in particular with a guy like by the name of Mike Perez, and I think it was Sweeney's son.
Yeah,
like,
Kevin.
Was the quarterback. I guess it was this epic game because Fresno State or San Jose State was ranked amongst the top 10 that one year. Anyways.
Fresno and San Jose, that was a rival. We hated those guys. San Jose and Fresno State, those were two big powerhouses. San Jose and Fresno, we used to get it on.
Yeah. All right, so let's just get back to the San Francisco 49ers. We're in the Central Valley, but let's bring it back to the 49ers taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I asked you, the line is at 6. Well, I'll start with you, Carter, before I get to my man Lowe. I mean, I see this thing. I think the 49ers win this thing 34-10. I see this, like, not even close. Where are you at?
I've got a prediction for the game, a very quick one here, is that Fred Warner in the first half, we're going to see one play where he steps up to the line of scrimmage and he meets Rashad White or Bucky Irving right at the line of scrimmage and gives him that hit that he gave to Najee Harris in the first game of last year. And it's going to set the tone for the whole game, and they're going to blow them out after that point.
Wow.
That's very specific. He's obviously thought this out.
That was nice. You got me just speechless. I mean, that's how it's going down. I think you have a team that's rested, a team that's going to get after it. I think bringing McCaffrey to the table tonight, you're going to see a guy who's going to have some big plays. If you said, hey, would this guy have a play for over 20, 15 yards? I would take the over. I think he has more plays than two over 10 to 15 yards. He's a big play guy. You have McCaffrey. He's going to have one in the passing game and I think in the run game, but I know for sure in the passing game, you're going to get him the ball often. You're going to get him the ball early in the passing game because he's going to create that mismatch. So I think you'll have a Tampa Bay I don't think this is a one-sided game in the first half. I think it's pretty tight. And I think maybe the second half, the Niners, because they just start to wear them out, I think that that's when you'll see it. But I don't think this first half you're going to see the Niners run away. I just think that the way Tampa Bay's built, the understanding where they're at, this is a game that you know that they're going to fight. So I think the Niners do win. Do I think they cover? I don't know. I understand they should because it's been a short week for Tampa. But I just think Tampa Bay they find a way. They fight hard. This is a good game.
So. Just because the text line is like all over me. Outback. You don't remember the Outback Steakhouse?
Yeah, the Outback Steakhouse.
Yeah, that was what I was thinking
about.
Oh,
the text line helped you out? That was the one you're talking about, okay.
Yeah, Outback Steakhouse.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, text line.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, the Aussie fries and all that stuff. The Bloomin' Onion.
Oh, the Bloomin' Onion. Okay, you would hit with the Bloomin' Onion. I would have had it. I would have had the Outback.
There you go, the Outback Steakhouse. So, yeah, the 49ers are just in a good situation here. And I would have to say, Lo, that if you're going to get to the playoffs, you got to win today. The 49ers, who traditionally have gotten healthy after the bye week, and you look back to last year, they were reeling. They had lost three consecutive games, and then they played Jacksonville and got healthy once again in Florida, blowing out an inferior team, but that really sort of set them on their way, and another opportunity to do it in Florida against a Baker Mayfield-led team. And the short week is, as we have talked about over the last couple of hours, where the Buccaneers losing to the Kansas City Chiefs. By the way, Kansas City, We talk about a
team. They're so lucky.
Are they lucky? I mean, is this?
They're lucky. They find a way. Here's the deal. Good teams find a way to win. Bad teams find a way to lose. When you look at when you look at Kansas City Chiefs, Baltimore had a chance. They're going to, if they score that touchdown, they're going to go for two. You look at the Chargers. The Chargers are absolutely dominating them, beating them, time of possession, everything. Has an opportunity. They let Kansas City in that game. They're winning with like 4 minutes left. The Chargers are. They have a chance to win that game. You look at Cincinnati. Cincinnati Bengals had them. They've won.
Just about everybody they played this year.
Yes, they have not had a dominant play this year. So Atlanta had a chance. So you look at this Kansas City Chiefs team. They have finding a way to win, but that's who they are. But they are getting lucky. They're getting the luck of the bounce.
When you look at the top teams, we'll start in the AFC. Kansas City's undefeated, but I don't want to play Baltimore or Buffalo right now.
No.
I think they're better than Kansas City.
I think Baltimore and Buffalo, and I tell you, a team that plays well, they just don't know how to finish, and they're just something about them, I don't know, but something's off. It's the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah.
Cincinnati's playing good football. I'm going to tell you a team.
Yeah, you're right. That's a weird team because Joe Burrow is still Joe Burrow.
Oh, my goodness.
But what the hell's going on in terms of the one-loss record?
There's a team that people aren't talking about.
I know where you're going to go.
If they just scored 21, if you said – this year, they scored just only 21. If they only scored 21 points, not more than 21, just if they would have hit 21 points this year, they'd be undefeated.
Chargers?
Yep.
Yeah, that's a dangerous team. They're still dangerous.
They're dangerous. Their offense, when you have Herbert, and you have to realize you got rid of all your receivers, Palmer, Keenan, and now you got rookies and young guys. Their offense has not caught up. Their defense is playing lights out. Yep. If this offense can score 23 points, they are the team in the AFC, in my opinion, that's playing the best football. Their offense has to catch up.
Yeah.
That's where the charge, man, you think about it. If they just score 21, they're undefeated this year.
They're a sleeper. Everybody focuses on Josh Allen and Buffalo and Kansas City. The Chargers. I mean, here comes Harbaugh again.
Here comes Harbaugh.
Just doing his thing, changing the culture.
Just changing it.
Two tight ends, we're going to run right the hell at you. I mean, it's amazing what it is that he's able to do. I think, though, overall, is anybody playing as well as Detroit? I mean, maybe you could take one of those teams we mentioned in the AFC, but to me right now, it's becoming, with every passing week, it's Detroit and everybody else.
Yeah, Detroit, man, they just can score. They continue to play. They friggin' are physical. Detroit Lions, man, they can beat you in a shootout. They can play defense. And I thought they were going to digress a little bit, losing the friggin' pass rusher, and because what he
Hutchinson.
Brought to that. Hutchinson as a boy dog, what he brings to the table. But it seems like it galvanized the team and made this team say, everyone not giving us a chance because Hutchie's out, and seemed like this team is playing better. They went to Green Bay. I thought Green Bay was probably going to win that game. They found a way to beat Green Bay. I think Detroit Lions, if you told me, give me a team in NFC, I would say Detroit and Philly. I mean, Philly, no, they're up and down, but I like Minnesota and I like Detroit. Minnesota, give me Minnesota and Detroit, and you could have the feel in the NFC.
Oh, you're buying Sam Darnold.
I'm buying Sammy.
Who would have thought, because this guy could be the coach of the year, but if I was to tell you this at his initial press conference when he's biting kneecaps, but Dan Campbell... I mean, I know a lot of people say, "Nah, it's Ben Johnson and that offensive coordinator, and they're just he's got good DC and he's got a good OC." But Dan Campbell, I got to be honest, I was one of those guys like, this will last a year maybe, but
they believe
this guy's a real deal.
He's a real deal. I'm shocked that the guys are following. They believe. I know Aaron Glenn. He and I played together with the Jets. Cornerback Aaron Glenn, number 21. Aaron Glenn was a great corner. And I talked to Aaron. I'm like, Aaron's my guy. So I really have a lot of great conversation with Aaron Glenn. He's a great guy. I mean, I was waiting for the drop. They are playing good defense. They're playing good offense. And that's what you would want to see from the Niners. And that's why right now I'm not willing to say that the Niners are an elite team in the NFC. I think that they have a chance to make the playoffs. But when you think about the Niners and you think about the NFC, I think that right now, would you put Atlanta over them? Do you put Atlanta, or do you think that's a toss-up? Who do you have over them if you think about
it? As of right now, it's
Detroit.
It's Detroit.
Green Bay.
Green Bay is a better football team. Yeah, Atlanta, I don't know. I just – maybe I'm not as big on Kirk Cousins as a lot of other people. I'm trying to think of the landscape of the NFC.
Well, you got to say Minnesota's better right now. Minnesota beat them head-to-head. You'd have to say the Lions, and you'd have to say Green Bay. And now you're saying not the
– I guess the thing in low, and you tell me your thoughts, like –
I think I wouldn't be afraid of Atlanta. I wouldn't be afraid of Atlanta.
Well, but you're assessing things right now. It's to me, it's always when I got to put on that jacket for the first time this year, who's playing football at their best and who's hitting their stride in December? Like, you know what I mean?
What has given you confidence in the Niners right now? So, because here's the thing. I understand what the Niners should be, and I understand what they were last year. Yeah. I understand the best team last year. So when you talk about this year, what you've seen in the games and teams that they played, just keep it with who they played. What makes you believe that this team is a playoff team? What makes you believe that they're better than Arizona? What makes you think that they can beat Arizona? Arizona took the ball down the street, beat them at home. Mm. What makes you think that they can beat the Rams? The Rams had four offensive line that wasn't out. They didn't have Kakua, didn't have all the receivers out, and the Niners were pretty much healthy. They went on the road when the Niners had all the home crowd there in L.A. Niners lost that game. So where do you have them win? So they have only way they're getting in the playoffs, they got to win the division. You have to win the NFC South, the West here. You have to win the NFC West.
You have to catch Arizona and or LA.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I'm not saying that this is the team to beat or that this is a team that's going to get to the playoffs. But for those, I think that for a lot of Niner fans, they feel that they romanticize that this team is going to get back to where they were a year ago. And it's Kyle Shanahan and that they're going to get healthy. I think that the return of Christian McCaffrey and eventually when Greenlaw comes back to this football team, that this is a team that potentially is going to put it in that proverbial another gear. Whether that gear exists or not, I'm not necessarily convinced. But I think that's sort of the overall sentiment, that their best football is still ahead of them. Maybe this is who they are, and maybe Christian McCaffrey makes you better, but he doesn't take you over that hump, so to speak. I think that today, going forward, because there's no more excuses, you've had the bye, you're getting healthier, you're not at full strength, but this is going to go a long way in terms of determining just how good or bad this football team is beginning today against Tampa Bay. Where do you see this team going forward?
Well, and that's the thing. I don't know. I think when you look at what this team has been able to accomplish, they haven't been over 500. They get one game over 500 and they drop back. Who are you? You are what your record says. Now, I understand they have the talent. You have the names. You have the players to be this team. But I have to see it. I can't just go out and say this is the Niner team is going to go run deep in the playoffs and play great, because I have not seen this team stop the run. I have not seen enough consistency out of this 49ers team to think that this is an elite football team. And guess what? They'll tell you the same thing. They're not going to lie to you. They're not playing their best football. Now, do I think McCaffrey helps them out? Without a doubt. Because he takes a lot of pressure off the offense and a lot of pressure off the defense. Because now your offense can sustain more drives. Now you have more of an explosive offense. Now it's not 4 yards in a cloud of dust, 4 yards in a cloud of dust, 7 yards. And now you got that long grind and you're going to get some mistakes. When you have 4 yards of cloud of dust, okay, 10 yard pass, 30 yard pass, 4 yards of cloud, touchdown. You limited your amount of mistakes that you can make. Now, what does that do for your defense? Now, if your offense can score, go by two touchdowns or three touchdowns. Now, the teams that your deficiency against the run is, now you don't have to worry about your deficiency against the run, because now a team becomes one dimensional. So where you're hurting at, you're now not, that's not a weakness. So I think McCaffrey makes this team better collectively.
All right, we got to get out, man. Lo, it's been fun. No dogs down, baby.
Run to the ball, baby. Let's go. Bang, bang, Niner game. Let's go, Niners.
It's the Niners. It's the Bucks. Carter, are you ready to headbutt me or just headbutt Lo? Let's do this thing.
Let's go, Carter.
No, phenomenal show. I wouldn't want to headbutt either of you.
All right, that'll do it from a man Lo. Carter Chickering, it's Dan Avone. Up next, it's the Niners and Tampa Bay. Have a good afternoon, everyone.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.